Hello, lovelies. Welcome to Almost Married, the podcast for all the brides and grooms to learn all the tips and tricks to plan the wedding of your dreams. I'm your host, Allie Armstrong, and I'm so excited you joined us and to be a small part of your big day. Welcome back to the Almost Married podcast. I'm Allie Armstrong, and today we're talking about photography with world-renowned photographer Christy Ryan of Blush Wedding Photography. Christy has literally been traveling the world taking the most ridiculous photos. You have to check out her Instagram feed at Blush Wed Photos. They're, I don't even know how you get these opportunities. And I mean, these hot air balloons, and you're in every country and in Europe and these most magnificent places. I'm just obsessed with your work and your feed.
Oh, so thank you so much.
I am so honored to have you here today.
I'm honored to be here.
And wow, honestly, we're so lucky to have you here. So thank you.
Thank you.
And photography, oh my goodness, this is such an important topic. It's such a big topic that, I mean, there's so much information that people need to know.
And there's a lot.
I'm not going to get through it all today, but, you know, as I've mentioned in other podcast episodes, this is one of the most important elements of a wedding, photography. And I've stated it before that if there's one vendor that you don't want to cheap out on, it is your photographer, because those memories will fade and the photos are what are going to last a lifetime, and you want to make sure that you have really, really amazing photos.
Well, I 100% agree.
I know you might be a bit biased, but I am completely in agreement with this. And, you know, if you check out Christy's work, you will understand, you know, what a really beautiful photo looks like. And I just can't say enough about your work. I am obsessed with you.
You're lovely. I'm obsessed.
So this might be an obvious first question to ask you, but, you know, in your opinion, can you share your thoughts on why having a good photographer is key?
Oh, well, so it's key for so many reasons. First, just as you mentioned, your memories do fade. You think you're going to remember everything, but you don't, especially on a day when there's so much happening. And why it's good to have a good photographer that's experienced is because, unlike other types of photography, when you can tell, you know, the model to jump again or jump again, and you can control the lighting situations, weddings are very dynamic and always changing. And there's only one first kiss, one dip at the end of your dance, one tear that your dad may shed. So you want a photographer that's got the experience to anticipate and be prepared to capture those moments, and also has the skill to deal with the ever-changing lighting situations.
Yes. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Those clouds, are they like your nemesis?
No, I love the clouds. That's the thing. I can't tell you how many times people are like, oh, I want really bright and happy photos, which is actually our style, is very bright and airy. And so they want to shoot at noon. But on a sunny day at noon, that's actually the worst.
Yes.
That's what causes the shadows under your eyes and under your chin. So clouds is like creating a big softbox.
Mm.
So we love clouds. But every photographer is different. That's for our style. That's light and airy.
Light and fresh and airy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's a silver lining for anyone that wakes up and might have a cloudy wedding day.
Exactly.
That is such a bonus. Your photos are going to be so much better.
Yeah, that's why actually, like, Vancouver's great for photography.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else in the world that has similar weather to Vancouver and feels a little bit more cloudy? Or is there like a country or a city that just gives you consistent photos? Is that even a thing?
Well, every place has their own thing. So like nothing beats, like in California and Italy, there's just a warm light there. So in Vancouver, it's a bit of a cooler light, but there's this beautiful warm light. So that kind of hurts us when you look on Pinterest. Brides will look on Pinterest and they'll see all these beautiful golden photos, and that's what they want. And well, you have to go to California or Italy to get that. It's
okay.
Like, we've got other things that are good for us too, but.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we had like a different color of light.
There is, yeah.
See, these are the things a good photographer knows.
Talk to us.
And it is important to have these conversations with your photographer in advance so you can assess expectations and.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Expectations and I think like 100% communicate with your photographer about what you're looking for, what you want, so you can be on the same page and prepare.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. And I know this is kind of a variable question, but in your experience, how far in advance should someone book a photographer? Like, how far in advance do you book up?
We book up generally a year in advance. Mm-hmm. And if it's a popular like summer date than even like a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah.
Like people love numbers. So 2020 is booking up fast.
I was thinking about that recently because it's such a strong number.
Yeah.
People want that.
But if you're off season, then it could be more flexible.
Right.
But I think right after you've booked your venue and you know your date, get your photographer.
100%. Mm-hmm. So again, I might be biased too, but I always say your venue, your photographer, and your wedding planner are three of the vendors that
exactly.
you want to make sure you check off that list as soon as possible. Because, you know, if you want to work with a certain venue or a specific person, mm-hmm. the photographer and the planner are kind of, you know, we can't be in two places at once.
Exactly. You know? That's what I always tell everyone. Like your florist and your decorator, yes. they can do multiple weddings.
Yes.
But
don't leave your photographer to the end. That 100%. You get engaged, you know your date, get your photographer.
We've had people booked us even before they got engaged.
That is hilarious. But yeah. So they already have a date in mind?
They already have a date in mind. I think it's very strange, but they have a date in mind. They book us, but they haven't actually been proposed to.
You know, I actually last year had two clients that booked me. The bride booked me and she wasn't even engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt a little bit weird because I'm like, I'm really of faith that this is going to happen for you. And she's so lovely and so excited and has all these dreams and visions. And yeah, she booked me. And then when it happened, that was one of their first phone calls.
Oh,
and
lovely.
It was really actually nice to be a part of that right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? If you know, you know.
Exactly.
There is absolutely no judgment there. And hey, if someone knows they want to work with someone specifically, then that's a way to guarantee.
Many times we've had people like ask us what our availability is before they book the venue, just to make sure that they can
get you if they pick a
exactly,
certain date.
Exactly. So if you know who, like you said, if you know who you want, talk to everybody and then kind of match the pieces together.
Really good advice. Because mm-hmm. if the venue might have two dates, you might only have one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very, very, very good advice. So as far as when people book a photographer, how many hours on average?
Some are multiple days.
But on average, how many hours should someone book a photographer for a standard kind of average style of wedding?
Yeah. Our norm is kind of 10 to 12. But I feel like if you're getting married at one venue, so the ceremony and the reception, everything's at one venue, it can be 8 hours.
Okay.
Quite often, people don't know exactly what they need when they book us because it's a year or a year and a half in advance. So I always say, book us for 8. You're generally going to use that. And then when you get close and your schedule gets more refined, you can add on a couple if you need to.
And it happens often, and we work together quite often as well, as, you know, people going through the planning process. You know, everyone has a budget. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter how much money you're spending, there's always a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some people feel comfortable in safe booking that 8 hour mark, but I guarantee you, day of, they always extend.
It's true.
They're in the moment. They want this energy to be captured, even if it's just at that point they're on the dance floor. Every single time, if a couple, you know, just has 8 hours and I know, okay, after the first dance, we're going to wrap the photographer. They're like, oh, can they just stay mm-hmm. for another hour or two? So.
Exactly. And it's just nice to have, like, this is such a special day and you're already stressed and a lot going on. It's just nice to have that extra breathing room, even just for getting ready. You know, some people are like, oh, half an hour, do up the dress, let's go. And I'm like, it generally takes actually an hour, hour and a half, sometimes two for getting ready. You know, especially if you have lots of bridesmaids, there's a lot of girls getting ready. That takes some time and.
Let's actually dive a little bit deeper into this because mm-hmm. this is really, really solid advice. Because often, you know, couples are looking at the start time of their ceremony
mm-hmm.
and they're thinking, okay, well, I'll book them like an hour before the start time of my ceremony to capture kind of the last details of me getting my dress on. But realistically, that feels stressful
mm-hmm.
if you don't allot yourself enough time to really enjoy the process.
I can honestly say that's the, out of the whole wedding day, that the getting ready is always like the one hiccup. And it's the start of your day. And people just don't realize how long that takes.
Yes.
And if you go over, you know, hair and makeup takes longer. And then getting ready takes longer. Quite often that cuts into your portrait session.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just have 20 minutes to capture. And then you've started your day already
stressed
and feeling behind.
And, you know, I think if you're not doing first look photos, so the difference, let's just explain if people are curious, you can do first look photos or not. And if you do first look photos, I personally think this is such a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's such a romantic moment. It feels less stressful where you still have that big reveal where you're revealing the couple to one another and it's being captured and documented and it's intimate and private, but then the couple can really take their time getting those couple shots and you're not left with, okay, we've got an hour between ceremony and reception to get 25 different groups of people. And
exactly. You know. And I think a key thing, oh, there's so much I can say about the first look, but two is one, the walk down the aisle is always going to be special.
Yes.
You've always thought about this. That's always going to be special. And now you've got this extra special moment, an event in your wedding day. If you want to capture his reaction, a first look is the best way, because when you walk down the aisle, people often, you know, they all stand for the bride and, you know, someone's going to, you know, try to be sneaky and put their camera in and block. So many times we get blocked that we actually can't see his expression. And the why I think first look is really good, because the cocktail hour, you just get married, everyone's so happy to see you, and then you race off for photos.
Yeah.
And this is the one time when all your friends and family are together. I think stay for your cocktail hour, enjoy it, or at least enjoy half of it, and be with people, be with these people. I think
that's so true. And as a planner, it often falls on my shoulders to kind of be like the bodyguard. So if they don't do first look, I know how important photos are and that this couple needs to get these photos. So literally they walk down the aisle, or sorry, they come back, you know, after they're pronounced husband and wife, they come back down the aisle and I am sneaking them as far away from their guests as possible, because the moment you let the guests start to congratulate them, they are stuck for like at least 30 minutes to an
hour.
They feel
so bad.
They have to say hi to everyone and that eats into the photography time. So, you know, on the flip side, if you don't do a first look, that is a good point that, you know, you've got that time between ceremony and reception to take your photos and you want to make sure you're getting family photos and, you know, bridal party and then couple shots, and you do need to kind of take off and be farther away from your guests so you're not getting distracted. And then back to the first look, you could also tie in, you know, all of the girls' shots, the bridal party shots. You could get all those out of the way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe then during cocktail reception, you're just getting a couple key family group shots, but you're still able to stay and celebrate with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always switch it up by first look. Maybe you do it without a veil.
Exactly. That's what I always suggest that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Adding a veil for
still
the walk.
Special.
It's an added piece. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a new reveal.
Yeah.
Well, for anyone that's been a little bit on the fence about that, maybe we just swayed you one way or another. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know some people are very traditional and just can't imagine seeing their partner before they hit the aisle. But it depends what's important.
I can say everyone who was on the fence and end up doing the first look has thanked me after and said, thank you so much. And as you mentioned, just calms them down. They had a special moment. And to be honest, it was my favorite time of my wedding day, hands down. It's actually the only part of my wedding day I really remember, because everything's so busy. You're, you know, being pulled in so many directions. And it's that one moment where you just get to like say, hey, like I was like, Ken, like I chose you, you know, we're getting married. And we just got to connect. Because when you walk down the aisle, it's not like you're going to start talking to your partner and be like, oh, you look beautiful. And it's just you're on this train.
Yes.
So I think it's
and it's a whirlwind from
it's
that
a whirlwind.
Point. And speaking about your own experience. Mm-hmm. My experience, I did not have a first look. This is back in 2012. And I think it was before first look was really like a big thing. Like it still happened. Mm-hmm. But now I always advocate for a first look because I've seen, you know, how wonderful they can be. And I can confidently say I was not bridezilla at all throughout the planning process. Day of, I had the best day. But for that 1.5 hours of photography time, I was stressed to the max because obviously I am a planner as well, but my one bridesmaid decided to go up to her hotel room and like didn't come back down. So we couldn't do our bridal party shots because we were missing a person. And then the kids were like melting down and we just didn't have enough time to get the shots we needed. So then Jordan, my new husband, and I could actually go off and get a solid amount of couple shots. I mean, we still got some great ones. So it ended up working out, but it was absolutely such a stressful hour and a half. Anyways, there we go. We've shared our experiences. Take it as you will. Mm-hmm. Both are lovely, but there's definitely some upsides to doing a first look. So anyway, I'm glad we talked about that. So is there any, you know, tips you can share with the listeners, you know, what they should consider when they're choosing a photographer? Like what should they be looking for when they're looking for a photographer?
Yeah, I think there's two key components. So the first is obviously that you like their style. Every photographer has a specific style of photographing and editing. Some are more romantic, some are classic, timeless, some are more documentary or creative. And so you have to like their style, which seems obvious, but still some people will come to us and ask us for certain things that we've never, you know, it's not what we do. Everyone specializes in a certain area. And yeah, I think you need to think about the photos that you want to, that you will love now, but also love years down the road and pass down to your kids. So A, love the style of photographer. B, that you like and click with the photographer. Quite often, we'll spend more time with that couple than they spend with anyone else on their wedding day. Like they are with you from, you know, beginning to end. So you have to make sure you enjoy them and that you click and trust and that you, that they understand your vision. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of through their eyes and what they seem as think is important that they're capturing your memories.
Wow.
And so you have to make sure that, yeah, that they get your vision.
I like that. And I guess through consultation and, you know, brings up a good point, meeting.
I think meeting with them. You with just them. Know.
No, yeah. Yeah. You can click versus just doing it over email. It's a good idea to meet with your photographer, even if it's over Skype, if you're not in the same city.
Skyping is great. Yeah. It's just like almost like in person. I always recommend like, hey, let's just hop in Skype and you can really just tell a lot from a person and see if you're like
if you connect.
Mesh.
Yeah. That's good. Great advice. We'll get right back to today's interview, but first I wanted to tell you about an exciting new workshop series that I'll be hosting for people just like you, brides and grooms-to-be that are planning their own dream wedding and need a little guidance on the what, why, how, when of wedding planning. Let me be clear, weddings can be daunting, overwhelming, expensive, and stressful, but they can also be so much fun if you can manage to plan a wedding within your budget with all the people you love the most and without any last-minute surprises. And I want to help you take the stress and fear out of the planning and make you feel prepared for what's to come. I've taken my decades of professional wedding planning experience and created a custom one-day crash course that will walk you in detail through all the steps you need to cover. The workshops will be starting this spring in Vancouver, but we will be touring throughout North America as well. So if you're interested and want us to come to your city, let me know. You will find more info on what's included in the workshop and can buy your tickets on my website, AllieArmstrongEvents.com. That's Allie with a Y, AllieArmstrongEvents.com. Okay, now back to today's interview. And so what are the most important aspects of the day to capture? I know that's a question, everything. But, you know, if one is looking to actually give some direction to the photographer of things that they definitely want photographed, is there anything that stands out to you that just has to be on that must-have list? I know you're a professional.
So yeah.
You capture everything.
I was like, I looked at that question.
Everything.
I was like, everything.
Everything. But say someone has a newer photographer and they need a little bit more direction, you know, like what after the fact when you're editing, are you like, okay, yes, like I'm so happy we caught that. Is there anything special that stands out?
Well, I just have to go through the list of everything because that's – so I kind of – break it down. I see that there's four parts to a wedding that I try to focus on. So one is just the obvious, all the moments. You know, you got to capture the walk down the aisle and the cake cutting and the first dance. And you got to capture all the moments that are happening. The second thing I always look for is just the emotional moments. You know, at a wedding day, you know, day to day, we don't always, you know, tell our parents how much we love them and how we appreciate them and all this. But on the wedding day, through the speeches, we know we have these conversations and there's a lot of emotions that happen with the parents and grandparents that you don't normally see. So I always have my eyes on them and try to capture that emotional component, which I know will mean so much to the bride and groom, maybe not that day, but years down the road that they have those photos. So I think looking for connections and emotions. The third thing that I do, I personally just love decor and fashion.
Yes.
And so I love capturing all the details. And I know, even like from my own experience again, I didn't have a photo of my bouquet and my mom's friend made the bouquet and I love the bouquet. And you spend a lot of time thinking what flowers you want, what colors you want. So to capture all those details, because that bride has spent a lot of time and money picking out those things. Mm-hmm. And also on a side note, which I think we'll talk about later, is if you want to get published, details are important. That's what magazines look for. And then fourth, I know it's long, but you really have to capture so much on a wedding day. I look at just getting really beautiful portraits. It's the one day where many people will spend the most money on, you know, a dress and hair and makeup. And you want to create these beautiful portraits that they'll have for a lifetime and look back on. So I think wedding photography is tricky because you have to do it all.
You're busy.
You're
That's
busy.
A lot to think about. I'm so happy I asked that question. Yeah. It seemed like there was an obvious answer.
No, it's not just one. There's a lot. There's a lot.
Which you brought up the fact that you're mom's friend made the bouquet, so shot lists. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important to communicate with your photographer if there are certain things like that or certain people that, you know, I haven't
seen
this uncle or cousin of mine in 25 years. Mm-hmm. So we need to get a photo together. So would you recommend couples create a shot list for you? It could mean photos with different people or just certain aspects that are important to them.
Yeah. So regarding the shot list, I know bridal magazines or books will, you know, have a list of 50 things, like, again, the walk down the aisle, the first kiss, the cake cutting, and to send your photographer. And I always feel so bad when brides have spent, you know, an hour typing this all out to me.
Right. And you're like, I know.
So I feel like you don't need to send that. You know, Maybe if you're hiring a very beginner or like a friend to shoot your wedding and they might not know, you can do that. But if you're hiring a professional, you don't need to send that as your shot list. But as you touched on, if you have an aunt that's like a second mom to you that I might not know, like if there's people that are very important that you want me to focus on, or there's a special brooch that you've tied underneath your dress that's sentimental, or maybe a little tradition that's going to happen very fast and kind of like to the side that I might not be aware of. Mm-hmm. Those are the things you need to let your photographer know. Definitely a family photo list, because again, the day is busy. There's a lot happening. And those are really important to those people. And you don't want to forget somebody. Again, I didn't have any of this at my wedding. And I actually don't have a family photo list with my mom.
Oh, no.
Crazy, right? But she was running around taking photos herself. And It just didn't happen. So key people, key items. And
then also having – is this helpful for you? Because This is advice I give to my couples. So I want to make sure that I'm – telling them the right thing is I always have them designate a close
friend
or family member that knows the family.
100%. Wrangler.
Wrangler.
Yeah.
Because the photographer doesn't know everyone.
You know, I always say like get next on bat. Get the next group ready to go. Because if it's organized, we can like, I've done 40 groups of family photos, like bam, bam, bam. But if it's not organized, just getting 10 photos can take an hour.
I can only, like, where did that person go? And
exactly.
You don't know who that is.
And I'm going to the bathroom or having to smoke. So I always say have the family photo list really, really organized. And another thing, and I know some photographers won't like that I say this, but I feel like I run my life and I believe in no regrets. And so I think if you've seen a photo online or Pinterest, like a pose or something that you kind of like, I think just do it. Show your photographer and say you wanted to try this out. Because I think it's better just to do it than to look back and be like, oh, it's so cute. I wish we kind of did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. You know, I don't think you should, you know, have like 50 photos from Pinterest and couples that you want to copy. Right. I think hire the photographer with the style you like and trust them. But if there's a shot or two that you really like, show them that and send that to them too.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I've seen some cute photos as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with like bridal parties or like the groomsmen doing some funny
things.
It's always nice to have that in your portfolio. So that I thank you. So let's move into how many photos you actually take at a wedding. On average.
Yeah. Well, again, it all depends on how many hours, how much decor, trigger happy everyone is. I'm guessing, again, this is Ken's job, he goes through everything, the other half of blush.
Uh-huh.
But 5,000 to 6,000 plus photos.
What? I was not expecting that.
Oh, goodness. We've done like 11,000 photos if it's like 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
11,000 photos.
It's a lot.
How do you even, how do you even begin to filter through those?
And that's even like when people are like, oh, can you send me a sneak peek of this one photo? We still have to go through those like 10,000 photos to find that good one.
It's
not an easy job.
Christy, I am that person.
Now you
after
know.
After your wedding,
you
after
know.
Every event we work on together, I text you, I'm like, can you send me one sneak peek?
It's like we still have to go through so many to find that good photo.
I feel so bad now. Okay, that's next level. That was a big reality. I'm so sorry. I'm just not going to ask you, and I'll just
No, ask away.
But so then, if you say take 6,000 to 11,000 mm-hmm. photos, how many realistically would you then give back to the client? Because you're not going to give them.
No one wants to look at that for many reasons.
Yeah.
So we generally say around 750 photos.
Okay.
Again, if it's a larger wedding, we've given, 1,200 photos. We tell our couples though that essentially you're getting every photo. Because if I'm doing, for every shot or pose, like I do about 6 shots.
Okay.
And let's say one photo, the bride's blinking, one photo, the groom is, there's a photo bomb, it's whatnot. So I'm taking the best photo out of each section. I take probably about 6 pictures of your cake. You don't need 6. I mm-hmm. pick the best one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, they are getting every photo.
The best of that.
The best of the best. You don't need to see the blinking or, those ones.
Yes. Okay. No, that's good. I mean, that's so time consuming.
Yeah.
To go through all of those.
And that's a lot.
Do you ever give people like the raw footage, the raw images, or are they always edited?
So we don't give any raw.
Yeah.
We just want to give, again, the best of the best. And often when we take a photo, that's only part of the job. Our editing is actually what takes it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Editing's a huge part.
Huge.
Just shooting the wedding, that's the fun part. I would almost do that for free.
Yeah.
It's all the behind the scenes and the editing and the hours and hours by your computer. That's why photography can cost a lot.
And that's such an important piece of information, so people understand, why they're paying so much for a photographer. If you're maybe only with them for 8 to 12 hours day of, mm-hmm. but the time.
The general rule that they say I've read is for every hour of photography, it's 4 hours of behind the scenes, like editing and prepping and uploading, and so 10 hours of shooting, it's 4 hours or 40 hours of editing afterwards.
Okay.
So that kind of helps explain.
Yeah. Way to break down the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I can see the risk of some photographers, I'm sure, give raw footage, but not everyone has the best eye. So they're just going to start posting on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's like the risk of it. I would say I can see
everybody's different, but we
just get the best product.
And it means that we spend a lot more time editing. But this is the most important day of someone's life. Mm-hmm. And I'm a workaholic. So,
yes, you are.
Yeah. So, but it makes it worth it. If it was some other kind of photography, I always say no model ever cried when I give their photos. And that's why I stopped doing fashion, because weddings, it has all that meaning involved. Mm-hmm. So it's worth putting all that time editing and just making it beautiful.
And people look so forward to getting their photos back, which actually leads me to my next question, is how long on average should one expect to get their photos back? So what's the time frame between the day of and then the photo delivery date?
So we say in the contract 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We aim for 2 months. But what's tricky for Vancouver is that we have a very short window of good weather. So basically, we're shooting back to back to back during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't leave a lot of time for editing.
Yes.
So that's the tricky part. So I think if the wedding is off season, 2 months is good. If it's in the mid August,
the wedding season.
But we definitely never try to go past the 3 month mark.
Okay. That's good. Because, I think that's another thing to have a conversation with your photographer. I think some people probably have the expectation that they're going to get them back in like 2 weeks, So
mm-hmm.
it's very important to have that conversation and to assess those expectations and understand why
exactly
it takes so long.
And we could always rush it. But again, these are your forever photos.
Yes.
So if you just wait a little bit longer, they're going to be that much better.
And editing is so key. And I this is so off topic, mm-hmm. but we have a mutual friend that released some presets.
Oh, yes.
It has changed my life.
Oh, good.
Because
it makes a big difference.
Editing, mm-hmm. I don't post a lot of personal photos. I am lucky enough to have a lot of professional photos from the work that I do. But personally, I don't post a lot on Instagram because I'm a terrible photographer. And then someone gave me their presets and I realized how the difference mm-hmm. editing makes
it makes or breaks a photo.
It really does. It 100%. Can save a photo.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I have mad respect for your editing skills. Because there's a lot that goes into that. So you mentioned Ken, who's the mm-hmm. second half of other half of Blush. So having a second shoot or even a third, if it's mm-hmm. if it's a large wedding, is that something that you would recommend?
I think 100%. Definitely two people. And if it is large, then three, for many reasons. One, just, you know, let's say during the ceremony, two photographers, they don't have to move around as much, so it's less disturbing. I really think the ceremony should be about the couple, not the photographers and videographers moving around, which some people don't see that. And then just practicality, like more efficient. I mean, one could be photographing boys, while the other photographs the girls. One could do the cocktail hour, where the one's doing details. And again, it's your wedding day. You don't want to miss a moment. And there is just one kiss and one nod. And, you know, if you're shooting indoors and a flash doesn't go off, you know, there are, we shoot with two cameras each. I actually shoot with three cameras. He shoots with two. So we have five cameras on us.
Oh, my word.
And just as backup, because if, you know, again, if the flash doesn't go off, which can happen, at least hopefully the other person's got it.
Wow.
So. And you, I've seen you, sometimes shoot digital and film.
Exactly. That's the third camera.
That's a whole conversation.
It's my workout.
The film and the amount of work in post too that goes into, and the expense.
So the post is actually easy. That's the great part. Yeah, because you kind of send it off and they kind of do the editing, but it's basically every photo is a latte. It's about $50 or $40 to $50 for 16 photos.
Ooh.
So you got to think digital, go bam, 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 bam. But film, it's like, is this a latte?
Is this a shot?
But it's just so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
There's something special about it, but it's not as versatile. So you need more lights, just better outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Nice to have that you shoot both though.
That's what I feel, because I love the fine art and the romantic look of film and creating these beautiful, timeless photos. But I also think weddings, the candid moments are also really important. Again, back to those laughs and those tears. I think that's something that's just, you know, down the road, you're really going to appreciate. And digital, that's king in capturing that.
Yes, that's good. And then engagement photos. What are your thoughts on that? Like, should people get engagement photos?
I think 100%. Again, for many reasons. One is just to basically connect with your photographer. You know, no matter who you are, you're always a bit more nervous and reserved with the stranger. So having that time with, you know, doing the engagement photos with them, by the time the wedding day is, you know, your guards are down, you've got personal jokes, and you can be more candid and get those more real shots.
Mm.
The photographer then also has time to study the photos. And same with you. You can look back and be like, oh, you know, I actually don't like my hair like that. Or the photographer can be like, oh, she looks really good at a 3/4 angle.
Mm.
It gives us time to, you know, perfect. So on the wedding day, we know exactly what angle you like, your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, on the wedding day, you're often confined to the schedule of location and time to shoot. So you maybe can't shoot at the most beautiful locations or the time of day, which is sunset for our style of photos.
Mm-hmm. So an engagement hour.
Exactly. So engagement photos, you can go anywhere, you know, and shoot at any time of day. So I think it's kind of nice to just do something different. Something maybe if you're getting married in the city, you can do some of the nature shots for your engagement photos. And also just, I can talk forever. There's so many things. The wedding day, you're not always wearing, you know, or for photos, you're not always wearing a wedding dress. It's not who you guys are. So on your engagement photos, you can kind of just show your personality and who you are and maybe an activity that you love to do. And it captures the more versatile the photos in the end.
The real, like, everyday you.
Exactly.
And you as a couple. And on that, I mean, I obviously follow you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that you've been to some phenomenal places, not only just for weddings, but for people fly you around the world for their engagement photos.
Yeah, we're going to Italy
next month
for engagement photos. Yeah, we're shooting in Venice and Lake Como, which is amazing. And
maybe you'll see George Clooney.
Oh, yes. Stop off his villa. But it's, yeah, people are, I think, thanks to Instagram, I think, you know, people are really stepping up their game. Mm-hmm. And I just think also our generation really believes in living life to the fullest and making those dreams come true, which we like to do. So,
You went to Iceland. I mean, I sleep a couple times, but those photos were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a job you have. I mean, I know you worked so hard.
Yeah.
And this is why, I mean, I know cost-wise, there's such a variance to photography costs. So I don't even actually want to get into that with you, because it's kind of obvious that, like, if a photographer costs $500, it's probably, like, look the other way unless you get what you pay for. That's just, I'm going to leave it there. There is so much now, like, we're learning that goes into photography and goes into editing and experience, and you just get what you pay for and you just don't want to cheap out on a photographer.
So, I can tell you, we do get a lot of emails, which always break my heart. I actually got one today. That's why I'm thinking of people who, maybe they did try to go a cheaper route or a beginner, and then they email back saying they're so unhappy with their wedding photos. And, you know, if they could get the bridal party, you know, if they could dress up again and for us to take photos. And it is heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking. It's not worth it because you want to capture in the moment, like you said. So, okay. And now I know I want to wrap up here soon, but I really want to talk about getting your wedding featured.
Oh, yes.
And if it's important to you, and I ask every guest that I have this question, because I think there's certain things to think about. Every vendor, every teammate has kind of their recommendations on what a couple should keep in mind if they do want to see their wedding featured. So on the photography side, you know, what should a couple keep in mind to ensure that they're getting the necessary shot? So if they do want to get a you know, their wedding featured, what would you pay closer attention to perhaps?
Yes, I think definitely tell your photographer and your planner beforehand if you're interested in getting featured. Because I always tell my couples, I could take a zillion beautiful photos of them, but magazines don't really care about that. They want ideas for their readers.
Inspiration.
So they really care about something new and different at the wedding or something on trend and like all the decor details.
Yes.
So you can often like brainstorm with your photographer and planner to come up with those unique ideas. I think having a clean color story is really important. It can be any color, but I know when I shoot a wedding, you know, from getting ready to where I shoot their shoes to how I shoot their rings, I'll shoot it so all the colors are consistent because magazines want their spreads to look beautiful and consistent. So I do that. And then maybe on the day, just to give a little extra time to shoot the details, or maybe make some special extra details.
Yes, you're really good at styling.
Do a little extra styling, like I got lots of little tricks.
I know you do. You need to know, ask the florist for the boutonnieres the day before, kind of a trick.
Anything, because those are the shots. You know, and on the day, there's just so much to do when you can't do it all.
So, do you have any favorite publications or any you know Instagram accounts that inspire you that you think people should check out and maybe get some inspiration for A, their big day, and B, the photography style?
Oh, wow. I love so many. So it all depends on your style that you're looking for weddings. You know, so if you want, you know, a very luxury and glamorous, Wedlux in Canada is the go-to magazine and blog and Instagram. Like kind of on trend and what's popular now, magazines would be The Real Weddings and Wedding Bells are great.
And what about international? Because we might have some listeners that are in the States or maybe they're in Europe or, international.
Well, I think blogs and Instagram's great. So my go-to, people don't really know often, but I love The Lane.
Oh, I love The Lane.
So that's probably like my favorite.
Yes.
I just think they have great aesthetic and photography. So I love The Lane. And then other good twos, of course, are Once Wed, Magnolia Rouge, Wedding Sparrow, you know, Martha Stewart's make great
Grace Armand.
Oh, yeah, Grace Armand.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. So check out all of those. I love following all of those accounts as well. So people can really get some great inspiration. Mm-hmm. And we always like to leave every episode with a little bit of a horror story. And I don't know if you have a horror story, but is there anything that you can share? Perhaps someone did something they regret, or, you know, is there anything you can share that we can leave our listeners with just like not to do on their wedding day?
Oh, I wish you mentioned this earlier, because I'm sure I'm going to leave and be like, oh, there's this story, that story, and that one. But I think just a good general tip, which I always sometimes see on a wedding day, I'm always like, oh, I don't know if this is the best idea, is don't try something new with your hair and makeup on the day. I think back a couple years ago, dark lipstick was in for maybe just like a couple months.
Yes.
that fad didn't stay, that trend didn't stay very long. But I remember a bride being like, I'm going to try this dark lipstick that I've never worn ever again. And I think also like your groom wants to marry who they fell in love with. You know, if you're a hair down girl, wear your hair down. It just be you, or get a trial before.
Getting a trial.
At the very minimum.
Such good advice. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you honestly for a whole other hour or 5 hours. But
we'll just have to do it again.
We'll have to do it again. And I keep saying this with some of our guests have been so lovely, but like part two. We'll be here before we know it. But Christy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Taking time out of your crazy busy schedule. And again, check Christy and Ken out at Blushwed Photos on Instagram. You will die. And to learn more about the Almost Married podcast and to participate in an in-person wedding planning workshop, I have a new website I just launched at alliearmstrong.co. So all the information is up there. And if you have any topics you want me to cover or have any questions for me, you can also DM me at events by Ally. That's A-L-Y. But anyways, have a great day and we will talk with you soon. Thank you so much for joining me today for another episode of Almost Married. I hope you all feel a little more prepared and excited for planning the wedding of your dreams. If you have any questions you'd love me to cover or ideas for future episodes, I would absolutely love to hear from you. And you can connect with me on Instagram at Events by Ally, that's A-L-Y, or on my website, www.allyarmstrongevents.com, where we have tons of other resources on the website for you to help you create a beautiful, personal, and stress-free wedding day. And if you are so inclined, you can also sign up for my workshop series on my website as well. Last but definitely not least, I would be so appreciative if you left a rating and review of this podcast in your favorite podcast app. It really does help get the word out to other almost married couples who need a little help along the way, and better yet, share this podcast with other brides or grooms-to-be. Thank you again, lovelies, and I hope you join me back here next week where we'll tackle another need-to-know wedding challenge. Bye for now.